have faith in God. Mark 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. This is part three of this series. Help me turn to your neighbor this morning. Say, neighbor, have faith in God. Tell them, have faith in God. Now say one by one, say, have faith in God. Amen. I want that to sink. No matter the question that life may throw your way this week, let your response be, I have faith in God. Faith in God never fails. Faith in God never disappoints. I tried to give an operational definition of faith last week. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read through Hebrews 11, 1 to 11, and then I left out 17 to 35. But let's go there very quickly. For those who are writing, while we're on our way to Hebrews 11, I'll repeat my definition. Faith is knowing that you know, 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 that God will keep his word. And based on that knowing, based on that conviction, based on that persuasion, you take steps that prove that you are convinced and fully persuaded that God will keep his word. It's a knowing, first of all, that you know that you know, that you know that God will keep his word. Whatever he says to you, he's going to keep his word. Can I have an amen to that? Now, based on that knowing, which forms your foundation, you step out and you begin to do things knowing that God will keep his word to you. Knowing that God will keep his own part of the bargain. So faith does not dump everything at God's footsteps or doorsteps. Faith takes responsibilities. That's why James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, said in John, in James 2 and verse 17, that faith, even if it has not works, is dead on arrival. Faith must have corresponding actions. Somebody say corresponding actions. That is when it becomes faith. That is when it produces results in your life. Not just, well, I believe, but you're not doing anything about it. Faith is, I believe, then I do something to prove that I believe. Did you get what I said? Are you going to pass your exams? Oh, yes. I believe I'm going to pass my exams. So I go into the library. I research books. I read. Because I believe I'm going to pass my exams. Why are you wasting your time reading? I'm not wasting my time reading. I'm taking corresponding actions to prove that I believe that I will pass my exams in flying colors. Corresponding actions. Why did you waste your money getting an international passport? I didn't waste my money getting an international passport. I'm trusting God for a scholarship in Europe. I have gone online. I have sent my CV, my resume, my dissertation, everything they asked for. I have processed my transcript. I have emailed everything to them. But I do know that in the embassy, they don't stamp a visa on an ID card. And I know that if anybody is going to travel out of their country, they will require an international passport. So I have gone to the immigration office to apply for my passport because I believe that when I appear at the embassy, they're going to grant my visa. Can I have an amen to that? That's called corresponding action. You are different from someone who says, I believe I'm going to go abroad. I'm going to get a scholarship. And what are you doing about it? I'm believing God. How are you believing God? I just believe. You, Sarah, Sarah, what will be, someday. Somebody will just come and say, hey, follow me, I'm taking you abroad. Excuse me? It may happen like that once in a green moon. But it doesn't happen like that all the time. And in fact, if somebody shows up and comes to your house, one of your uncles, and says, now follow me, I'm taking you to America. No embassy will put a visa on an ID card. You will still need to get a passport. So I am not waiting for that day and a knight in shining armor will show up. An uncle out of the blue skies will show up and say, hey, let's go. And then I'm not prepared. So I go ahead now to get my passport to prove to God that I believe his word to me that I'm going to go international. Because he has put it in my heart that I am not a local champion and that I'm going to do something outside the shores of Africa. Because I believe that, I am now taking steps. Are you getting what I'm saying? People go to Prayer Mountain Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. They are there all of the time, all of the week. Their shops are closed and they are trusting God for financial breakthrough. How is that going to happen? Bullion vans don't take money to the Prayer Mountains. They go there to collect the offerings. So as you pray, you work. As you pray, you take corresponding action. As you read the Bible, you do what the Bible says to do. The gap between us and our breakthrough, our next level, many, many times, is the corresponding action we have refused to take. Do you believe that you are gifted in the area of writing? Honestly, I believe. I've read many books online. In fact, many of them are not half as talented as I am. Sir, if I write an ordinary monologue. Sir, if I write an introduction, if I write an acknowledgement, the acknowledgement is as heavy as several chapters in some books because those books lack content, okay? What are you doing about it? I know God will bless me. He will make me a great writer. All right, praise God. Thank God for that. He will make you a great writer. Amen. Amen. And according to Ephesians 1:3, he has already blessed you with all the heavenly blessings in heavenly places, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you are blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Okay, so what are you doing with the blessing? Oh, I'm still planning. I'm planning to write my book. You are planning. Nobody gets rewarded on what they are planning to do. So planning to write a book is not writing a book. If you understand that, say amen. Intending to write a book is not writing a book. If you understand that, say amen. If you don't understand, keep quiet. But if you understand, say amen. All right. Now, thinking about writing a book is not writing a book. Do you understand that? Okay, so say amen. Writing to other people about writing a book is not writing a book. So what is writing a book? Writing a book. Start your chapter 1. Start your chapter 2. Move on. Don't stop. Corresponding action. Because you know that the world is waiting for your manifestation as a child of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. The world is waiting for us to manifest and we are waiting for the world. And so the two of us are looking at each other like, duh. Corresponding action. Hebrews 11. I'll come back here. Let me go on quickly because I don't want to keep you for too long. Let me share some biblical facts about faith in God. Faith in God. Biblical facts about faith in God. Number one, I have about five of them today actually, but I just trust God to help me. Number one, genuine faith has its root in Jesus Christ. Genuine faith in God has its root in Jesus Christ. Genuine faith does not have its root in another person's testimony. Look at me, church. Somebody comes up here every last Sunday of the month and we share our testimonies, glory to God. Like one of our sisters who just passed her final exams in medical school and she's now a doctor. Glory to God. She's now Dr. Timitokpe Komolafe. Praise God, amen. I said, praise God, amen. Now somebody in the congregation says, wow, God made her a doctor. I believe I'm going to be a doctor. That's fine. I believe. Okay, so what are you doing right now? I'm about writing jam. Oh, no, I'm in 100 level, medicine and surgery. Glory to God. But in 100 level, they don't confer you with MBBS. In fact, you've just they don't know yet whether you're going to be. Because you're still going to have to write your MB1. And then after MB1, do they viva them after MB1? Okay, they will viva you. And then MB2, right? They will viva you again. And then MB3. And that's the final, right, isn't it? You MB4 again. MB4. MB. My again, your B. MB. I mean, you will have to go through all of that. You can't say, well, Lord, you're going to make me a doctor because I heard in our church that you made somebody a doctor. I'm sure you've heard people say, the God of Pastor so-so and so. Who did it for Pastor so-so and so? The God of our church. Stop that rascality. Is he your God? Does he know you? Do you have a relationship with him? Then talk to him. You don't need to go through any middleman. You don't even need to go through PFE. Your faith must be rooted in Jesus Christ, not in other people's testimonies. Because you did it for so-so and so, you're going to do it for me. Nope. Brother, you don't know that so-so and so's journey with God. You have your own journey with God, and God wants you to relate to him as even if you're the only child, he still wants to take care of you. Can I have an amen? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author, somebody say author, and the finisher, meaning the perfecter of our faith. Jesus must be the author and be the perfecter, be the developer of our faith. Those songwriters said, I'm not going to go under because I've built my life on Jesus. I've built my faith in Jesus. If your faith is in Jesus, the wind will come, the storm will come, life will test you, people will deny you, people are going to betray you, but guess what? You are going to make it through because your faith is in Christ Jesus. Can I have an amen? Genuine faith in God must be rooted in Christ Jesus. Let me shock you a little bit. Do you know that some people have faith in their prayer? They have faith in their prayer. Say, don't worry about that situation. It's because I've not prayed about it. Give me that your situation. Give me 6 hours. I know the God I said. When I pray for 6 hours, Shebi, what happened last year? What happened like 2 years ago? When I prayed for 3 hours, my prayer changed everything. And when you listen to their testimony, they give all the credit to their prayer. That's why I love one of the songs that we took this morning, that Ayo led. It said, you made a way. One of the lines there says, not for anything that we've done. Stop arrogating the credit to your prayer. Let me shock you. So some have faith in prayer. Some have faith in faith. It's because I've not used my faith yet. Hold on. If I release my faith, like you know one man in the East, I have the powers. In his own case, it's release. If I release my powers, not even used this one yet. I've not even used whatever. People, so he has faith in his powers. And all his powers have names that you cannot find in the Bible. And you find Christians following such a person? May the Lord have mercy on them. That's why we need to go out and evangelize. Do you know that there are people who don't know the difference between their left and their right? It's whatever comes, hook, line, and sinker. Do you know till today there are people who don't know the difference between preaching the word of God and motivational speaking? They don't know. You can't blame them. You can't. Because they don't. How will they know unless you preach to them? How will you preach unless you are sent and you have been sent? Somebody say, I've been sent by God. So some have faith in faith. It is wrong. Let your faith, Jesus said, have faith in who? And because he's the Son of God, God has put him as the administrator of the blessing and of our faith. God has made him the author, It pleased the Father that in Christ should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. So it pleased the Father. They're not in rivalry. They're not in competition. It pleased the Father to make Jesus the author and finisher of our faith. So looking unto him. Every day I look unto Jesus. I plead with you, my sisters and brothers, no matter what Nigeria is saying, no matter what your country may be saying, every day talk to Jesus, every day fellowship with Jesus, every day look to Jesus. Don't be downcast. Get up. Even if you're downcast, tell your soul, don't you get shy on me. Get up. Get up. There's a lion in this case. Praise Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus. You are strengthening your faith. You'll be so strong. Sometimes you want to get out on the street and look for the devil. Whereas some are running away from the devil. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I have an amen? Genuine faith has its roots in Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read 10 verses there. Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. And verses 23 to 33. It's a story that we know. Let me talk about it. Don't let us take the time to read it because of my time. Now, it's a story of Jesus walking on water, and then Peter and the other disciples were in the boat, and they cried out for fear because Jesus was coming at about 3 a.m. It was in the dead of the night, and they saw somebody walking on the water. And the Bible says that the disciples, can you imagine the disciples? These were disciples that walked with Jesus. They saw a spirit, or they assumed it was a spirit, and they cried out for fear. These were fathers. And I said to myself, as I meditated on this yesterday, I laughed and I said, according to a popular Yoruba parlance, Tomo Deba Debi Eru, Eru Aba. Apology to non-Yoruba speakers. It means when a child gets to the place of fear, he will fear. These were men, fathers, adults. They said, it's a spirit! It's a spirit! Ah! They cried out for fear. Because they thought it was mommy water. They had never seen that before. And Jesus chose of all time to come, he chose the dead of the night. He didn't come during the day when they will see him from afar and say, Master, what wonder is this again? From afar, during the day, they would marvel, right? Come and talk to me. They would marvel, right? But then they would have seen him, oh, he's the master. But he came, he chose the dead of the night. And men were wing-wing in their pants. Ah! It's a spirit! Ah! I can imagine Bartholomew holding Philip. Philip! You put me in this trouble! It's a spirit. It's a spirit. Spirit? Jesus said, hey guys, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It's I. And they know his voice. Oh, glory. Oh. My chest, come back to this world. Come back, collect money. Did you ever do that in your childhood? Oh, this is a posh generation. You don't know that. Refer, you don't know that. Oh, my God. Whenever we were scared as children, and then you now discover that, oh, it was just some rubbish stuff. And then you will say, Ayamikwa da sayewa go, Ayamikwa da sayewa gomo, because Ayawati law. Our ayah was gone. So we called back our ayah. Praise God, amen. The disciples, they did that too. But Peter, being very outspoken, Jesus said, it's I. He queried further. If it's you, bid me come. Come. That was the only thing Jesus said. And on the strength of come, Peter began to come. On the strength of Jesus' word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the anointed spoken utterance of Christ. The Messiah. That was the original manuscript of Romans 10:17 that says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word translated God is actually Christ. What is the anointed spoken utterance of Christ? Rhema Christos. That's how the Greek put it. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Rhema Christos. Rhema is the spoken word. This was the same thing Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4 when he was faced with the devil. And he said to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He didn't say that is written down. He said, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, what is the difference between the Rhema word, spoken word, and the written word, the Logos? So the Logos was Rhema written down. And when you open the Logos, and you invite the Holy Spirit can point your attention, your finger, his finger, into a Logos that will speak back to you. And when Christ speaks that word back to you, it becomes your Rhema. You can be in a scripture, in a verse that you've read before, time and time and time again. In fact, it can be John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You've known that from GSS 1. But the day you know it, like you should know it, it will change your life. Can I have an amen? That's when it becomes your Rhema. And that's how faith comes. Rhema is that word spoken to you. As I'm talking to everybody right now, the Holy Ghost might just come to you and say something that others did not hear, but cause you to hear it, and that is your own word. I've had people walk up to me after service and say, Pastor, you just exposed my life. Everything you just said was about me. It was about me. Oh, God. Oh, I didn't know that God loves me this much. No, I didn't know anything about you. Nada. And I've had people also get offended. Can you be talking about it? Somebody must have told him. I know the person that told him. And they will start fighting that person. And sincerely, before God and man, myself and that person have never had a conversation about what they are talking about. It is God exposing that because he wants to heal you. That's your Rhema word. Stop fighting your Rhema word. Man cannot live by bread alone. He has to live by Rhema word. Can I have an amen? That's how faith comes. It comes from Jesus. He's the author. He's the author. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Give that to me on the screen. God bless you, media. Hebrews 1, 3. God, who what? No, give me 1, 2 first of all. Give me 1, 2. Hebrews 1, 2. Hebrews 1, 2. Okay, thank you. Okay, give me 1, 1. Give me, I'm coming to 2, but give me 1, 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers. How? Church, if you're not sleeping, how did he speak back in the day? By the prophets in the Old Testament. But today, how is he speaking? Verse 2. Come on, church. Hath in these last days spoken unto us. How? By his son. Let the son speak to you. That's your Rhema word. When he speaks, faith comes. And you can build your life on that. He looked at Peter in Matthew 16 and said to him, you are Peter. He was Simon. He changed him to Peter. Simon means unstable. Unstable. He's here today. Tomorrow he's here. He's in fellowship today. He's not there tomorrow. He's in rehearsal today. He's not there. You can't count on him. Simon. He said, but you are Peter. And on this rock, what rock? This revelation that my father gave you, that I'm the Christ, will the church be built and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Rhema word. From that moment on, Simon became Peter. Petra, rock, solid, immovable, unshakable. Biblical faith must be rooted in Jesus. Any kind of faith that you can't find rooted in Christ is fake. Any kind of faith that is not rooted in Jesus Christ is fake. Are you with me? Is what? Fake. Some people think that they want to get rich, but they'll get rich by gambling. Was Jesus a gambler? Is he a gambler right now? They give you 100,000, go and do business with it. Say, man, if I stick this, stick that. If I do sport bet, naira, jackpot. If I divide the money into 10 places. Baba jebu, ya jebu, omo jebu. Baba ndo, yondo, omo ndo. Baba badon, ya badon, omo badon. And then you do this and do that. 2 plus 2 minus 2 is equal to If this one does not work, this one will work. Be you je, and there goes 100,000. And they come back as broke, in fact, broker, pardon my English, than they used to be. Because you cannot get rich by gambling. Any faith that is not rooted in Jesus, anything you are doing, listen, church, that is not found in Christ, thrash it. Even if it's PFE that is doing it, don't do it. Thrash it if it's not traceable to Christ. And I owe it to God that I will not mislead you. Anything anybody tells you that is not traceable to Jesus Christ, don't do it. Somebody said, on the internet now, you have all kind of prophets and prophetesses. I saw one. He said, look at this coconut. This is the creation of God. Some people don't know the creation of God. All the things that God has created, all these things are blessed. At 1 a.m., as you see this coconut, wake up. I'm not asking you to do anything fetish. Read the Psalms. Psalm Kinikon, Psalm Kinikon. I said, look at this. And you call that Christianity? Where did Jesus use coconut? Coconut to transform people's lives in the Bible. That is idolatry. That is spiritism. Because we are spiritists in Africa. We are not spiritual. We are spiritists. We must attach our faith to something. Something. I heard some pastors will go to a church where they see that God is moving and things are happening. The church is growing. They are massive. They have massive members all over the world. They will go there and gather sand in that church. And they will take it to their own church and pour it somewhere. And say, whatever is working in that place, let it work here. And devil will help them. And they will still come and give testimony. Where did Jesus or the apostles grow a church? Jesus didn't start a local assembly. So the church was birthed on the day of Pentecost. Where did Peter travel to? Jesus' home was in Capernaum. Say, let me go and take the sand in the room of the master. Because, listen to me, Peter and the other disciples went in and out with Jesus. Peter said it in Acts chapter 1, before the Holy Ghost descended, as they were in the upper room, and they were going, he was talking about the ministry of the guy that last to eat carrot. What's his name? Judas. Judas is carrot. Yeah. And how that Matthias was going to replace him. He said he has left his bishopric. He lost his bishopric, right? He said of the men who accompanied with us when the Lord Jesus was going in and out among us. So Peter was really very close to Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why didn't Peter go to the room of the master in Capernaum and take his best friend? Say, this is the best sheet of Jesus. Let's go and spread it in the church. Anybody that falls on this best bread, you'll be healed. Or the church will grow massively. Spiritism and syncretism introduced into the church. A brother was telling me, he was growing up in a particular church, I don't want to mention. He said once in a year, they gave them green water to drink. All the children. They used to run away from that water. Your parents were beat. They beat the green daylight out of you. Water. Thank God that you are not in that kind of church. Water plus turari plus all manner of things that they mix together. Some of you already know the kind of church I'm talking about. They mix it. That thing is chemical, sir. I've seen it before. A prophet was administering it on one of my uncles who was dying. I went to their house to ask after him. Then I saw that. I pushed the prophet. I kicked the container. My cousins and my aunties shouted, I said, what? What is this? They are pouring chemical into him. He will die. They said, no, I pulled my uncle up in the name of Jesus. I told the children, oh, yeah, carry your father. My car is downstairs. Let's take him to UCH. He was in UCH for a couple of days before he passed on. At least he lived a few more days. And by the time they did his autopsy, he had died of sepsis. Something, poison of the system. I saw the autopsy. I saw the report. Faith in water. Faith in coconut. Faith even in anointing oil. A friend of mine, we went to the U.S. Embassy many years ago. He was the one who had the interview. I only accompanied him. I said, let us fast. Let's fast and pray. By the time I went to his house, the day we were supposed to pray, he had broken the fast at about 1 p.m. I went there about 3 to share the word of God with him till about 6 to pray. I said, why? Egbon? He said, man, what if I use about? That the fasting had almost turned to malaria. He said, even when he broke the fast, he took paracetamol. I said, what? He was going to a particular church that time. When we got to the embassy, we slept in the park. Those of you that know the U.S. Embassy on Victoria, on Eleke Crescent, now Water Carrington Crescent on Victoria Island. There's a park opposite the U.S. Embassy. We slept there on the bench. We paid the mobile police there to allow us to sleep on the bench in the open till daybreak, TDB. Early in the morning, before I woke up, he had woken up. Of course, nowhere to have our bath. So just water to wash your face and wash your mouth. And he was anointing his tongue with anointing oil. Everything I see, he drank some, he took some, he rubbed his head. I woke up to see that. Are you a herbalist? Paul warned against this in 1 Corinthians 2:5. He said that, now, I'm not condemning anointing oil. Anointing oil has its place. Not abuse. Abuse is what we experience here in Africa. Because we are spiritists. We must attach our faith to something. We can't say, okay, I'm not holding on to anything. I just believe in Jesus. Can I have an amen? See the way the white people do it and they get results. He anointed everywhere. He almost put anointing oil on his legs. Move out. Anoint the shoe. Anoint everything. He didn't spend 1 minute at the embassy. Why are you going to the United States of America? I'm going to visit the United States of America. Who invited you? As he mentioned, as he finished mentioning the name of the person, in fact, he had not finished mentioning. Sorry, I cannot grant you a non-immigrant visa right now, but when your circumstances change in the future, you may please reapply. Next person, window 12. Under 1 minute. When it came out like this, because we didn't eat before he went inside. With the moment he came out, he used to call me prof. He said, prof. Let's buy popo. Please buy popo for me. I said, you're not even smiling. He said, let's eat. So we're eating popo and we're going on the street on VI Water Carrington. We were eating on the street and I was hearing the result of the interview. Paul said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but where? Make it louder. In the power of God. And Jesus is your link. If your faith is rooted in Christ, it stands in the power of God. Because how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Come on, talk to me, church. And with what? And with what? So he's already anointed with God's power. All you need is to have Jesus and build your faith on him. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil? For God was with him. That's Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Can I have an amen? When Peter was walking on the water, as long as he kept his focus on Jesus, he walked. Keep your focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus never said to him, try to come. See if you may possibly come. Jesus simply said, come. And as long as Peter fixed his gaze, looking unto Jesus, the source of his faith, he walked on water. He walked on water because Jesus said, come, as he continued to walk on the strength of come, 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 until he got distracted. That's like some of us. You started very well. Started very well. Your faith was purely in Jesus. You didn't mind any other thing that anybody was saying. You didn't get distracted. You were growing in faith until you went to school. Until somebody came into your life. Until somebody introduced another kind of gospel to you. Retrace your steps. Peter began to sink. It began to sink by the mercy of God. Nobody begins to sink. Try it after service. Don't try it alone. Go with somebody that can rescue you. Walk on swimming pool. See whether you will begin to sing. Only in African magic, people begin to sing. I'm singing. Oh, Mountain Rio, Moridia, dear, I'm sinking. It doesn't happen. You walk on water, man, you go straight to the bottom of the pool and you drink a lot of gallons of water. Have you ever tried swimming before and then you drank water? Do I have my people in the house? Lift your hand. It's not a sin, right? Praise God, amen. I drank it. Number two. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Do you know the will of God for every situation of your life? If you don't know it, because we don't know sometimes, take some time out and pray in the Holy Ghost and listen and say, Lord, what are you saying concerning this situation? And the moment you know the will of God, faith begins. Ephesians 5:17 gives us a warning. It said, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of God for my life? You hear some preacher preach as though if you ever prosper in your life, you are going to hell. They tell you what we have today. We don't have Christianity anymore. We only have prosperity. Okay, the microphone you are using to preach, sir, was purchased with money. I am not talking materialism. I'm talking prosperity. God wants us to prosper. I don't know about you, but God wants me to prosper. Okay, only three people said that, Lord. Oh, Lord, they have increased to 10. Can I show you a scripture that tells you that God wants you to prosper? Would you like to see it? Okay, it's a scripture you know. 3 John and verse 2. Put your name there. 3 John and verse 2. 3 John. Thank you, media. You are doing a great job and I love you. 3 John and verse 2. They are not there yet, but I love them all the same. 3 John and verse 2. They will get there. You see, I told you they will get there. I love them. I love my media folks. And today is Janie's wedding. Did I say wedding? Janet's birthday. And yes, she's going to get married and I'll be there on her wedding day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Beloved, I wish above how many things? How many things are all? Think about all in your life. How many is all? Above all. Above all. What does God want? That you may be sick and be broke? That you may what? Did I hear you say prosper? Come on, that's a carnal word. That's a carnal word. It's carnality. Sir, God said he wants you to prosper. Wants me to prosper. And then to be sick with prosperity. What did he say? So if you are not in health, is that the will of God? If you are not prospering, are you in the will of God? Because some people have taught us now that when you are poor, is a sign that you are pious. Some have gone to the extent of even trying to degrade the ministry of Jesus Christ, saying that he lived the life of a pauper. I've had preachers say that Jesus didn't have a house because he said that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Please, sir, go and read the entire context again to know what he was actually saying. He had an itinerant ministry. He went about. But from time to time, you read, he will come back home when he was home. You see why we need to prosper? I like the microphone I used to have before, but I want a better version that will be pinned to my body so my two hands can be free. And I won't need to scream. I'll just talk underneath my breath and everybody will hear. It's prosperity. I'm preaching and sweating. Some of you are sweating where you are now. To buy AC, sir, is not the ministry of angels. It's money. To go to Pick and Pay or ShopRite. Eh? We pay money to bring AC. Jesus' name. Is it the will of God for you to prosper? Is it the will of God for you to be well in your body? Even as your soul prospers. So is it the will of God for your soul to prosper? Know the will of God. Therefore, when you know the will of God, that's where faith begins. Because you know this is the will of God. It's very simple. Who has a very, very solid mobile phone here? iPhone 14. I don't know which one is the latest. Pro Max. Is what? 15 now. 15. 15. Anybody? Elabs! That's my guy. Bring your phone. They say you have 15. Bring it, 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 bring it. Put your hands together for. He's my boy, man. Daniel Lambs. Praise God. Let me see what it looks like. Man. It's good for a pastor, man. Daniel, go and sit down. God bless you. Now imagine, let's say Daniel. I'm not saying this is real, but let's assume he gave me. Now, don't try to give me, all right? But let's assume he gave me. And I said, this phone is really nice, but I want to bless somebody in this church. But the person I want to bless is not in church today. Chai. And the person is Demi Blanche's friend. Demi Blanche, Onye is not in church. Eniolama Nowo Iwoko. And I hand it over to Demi Blanche. I said, Demi Blanche, go and give it to Onye. She didn't come to church today, but it is my will for her to have this phone. So give it to her. Then, 2 weeks after, both of them are coming to church. Onye does not show up to say thank you. Demi Blanche is already enjoying the phone. She's also coming to church. She's even using the phone to take videos of Onye during praise worship. You know what these things that girls do? They're even dancing together. Onye does not know that the phone belongs to her. And she's featuring in the video. The video recorded by her phone. Then somehow, 3 months down the line, she now finds out somehow in church. Like someone said, Shibi, is that your phone that pastor gave you? Pastor didn't give me any phone. Pastor gave you a phone. We were all there. We were all eyewitnesses. Somehow, they let her know that the phone was handed to Demi Blanche. In fact, they now went to YouTube and Facebook to replay this video as I'm preaching. She saw everything. She didn't believe when she heard, but when she saw the video and heard that name, what? If you were Onye, and Demi Blanche lives in Akpete, and you live in Elebu, will you visit Akpete or not? In fact, you probably go in the company of 2 friends. In case Demi Blanche wants to overpower you, he can't overpower those 2 friends. What is Jiapu? What is Nick Mosubaje? Amamokola? Egunwole? Put yourself in the shoes of Onye. How will you demand your phone? Will you be apologetic about it? Demi, I was told the pastor peradventure, perhaps, handed you a phone to pass across to me. And if it pleases you, would you like to please kindly release it to your friend? And I mean me. Is that the way you will talk? Show me how you will collect your phone. Even Demi Blanche. Don't be wicked. How can you be holding somebody like that? You are in church. I even thought she would do like this. Oh yeah. She held the clothes. What? That is how the violent take it by the force of faith. Matthew 12, 11, 12. Can I have an amen? Because you now know, come on, Dan. You now know that it belongs to you. Faith begins where the will of God is known. It's pastor's will for you to have this phone. How do you have it? Have it. Oh, yeah. Nyem. I like Igbo language. Nyem. Nyem phone. Igbo language is the easiest to speak in the world. Anything belongs to you, just add M at the back. This is microphone.
Members, friends, Bible, this iPad. Is that not so? Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. The Bible says very clearly that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Satan is now trying to bring the curse of the law on you. Will you not look him in the eye and say, "Shori ekpe, Mr. Devil, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus actually shed his blood, died, and rose again to redeem me. And you want to put me back in bondage?" This is how you are supposed to attack sickness, disease, lack, poverty, confusion, depression. You attack them. You declare war. Not all this gentlemanly kind of faith that we have. You know, maybe if it pleases you, Satan, please leave me alone. In fact, he will say, "Oh, don't worry, say it again, sweetheart. I will leave you now, say it again, sweetheart." No, may you never be a sweetheart. Colossians 1, 13 to 14 tells us that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Can I have an amen to that? So on the strength of that deliverance and transformation or transportation or translation, then you begin to walk by faith. The will of God is my freedom. You can't put me in bondage. I know the will of God. I'm free. Whoever the Son makes free is free indeed. Can I have an amen? Amen? If your legs are hanging in the hospital and they're putting drips on you, are you free indeed? Can you attend your friend's convocation? Can you even attend your own convocation? Come on, you want to be free. And everyone online, everyone in that situation, be free indeed in the name of Jesus. Amen. You begin to have faith when you know the will of God. It is the will of my Father to be free, for me to be free. It is the will of my Father for me to prosper. So I work because I know he will prosper me. I don't sit back at home being lazy. I work because I know he will prosper me. Didn't he say in Psalm 1 verse 3, "And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in a season, and whatsoever he doeth shall..." Holler that word. Holler it. Say it out loud. "Whatsoever he doeth shall." If he does theater art, he shall. If he does medicine and surgery, he shall. If she does law, she shall. If she does accounting, she shall. If they venture into architecture, they shall. If music is their calling, they shall. Oh yeah, glory to God. Two people came to church. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. This is the house where we will all prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's the will of God. Then faith begins. That's why Apostle Paul prayed. I'm winding down. I'll stop on this point. I have five, but I'll stop here. Apostle Paul prayed in Colossians 1, 9 to 10. He so prayed that prayer earnestly. What was the prayer point? That we will know the will of God. That we will know the will of God. That we will know the will of God. Colossians 1, 9. "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of" what? That you might be filled, that your spirit man might be completely saturated with the knowledge of what? His will. That you may know his will. That somebody tells you nonsense and, "No, in the name of Jesus, that's not the will of God for me. No, that's not me. No. I say no, that's not me." No, I'm saying, for example, now, if you go to prison, no. Even the example, I can't go to prison. Amen. No, I'm not saying you will go to prison. I'm just saying that, for example, I say no, sir. It's not the will of God for me to go there. Two sisters in this church were talking years ago. It was like a joke. Almost became a big fight. One was saying, you know, for example, let's say you are poor now. Say, "No, I cannot be poor." Say, "I'm not saying you are poor. I said, for example," she said, "even in the example, I cannot be poor. Because it's not the will of God for me. I know the will of God." Hey, anybody can die at any time. No, no, no. The will of God for me is longevity. Psalm 91 verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Papa Hege said, he will satisfy me with long, he will give me long life until I'm satisfied. Isaiah 46 and verse 4. He said, I've made you, I will bear you, I will carry you to whole years, to years, white with age, not with props. And not with stress. Years, white with age. 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 Long life. Are you with me? So somebody now gives you an example. Now, for example, now when you're not going now, because you know in life, sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, sometimes people die. No, I'm not going to die anyhow. No. It's not time yet. Are you with me, church? Let's say, for example, now, you are now confined to an asylum because they are trying to rehabilitate you. You say, no, 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 excuse me, sir. Please change the example. Please change that illustration. No, 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 no. I don't mean that you. I'm just saying, for example, even in the example, because that is not the will of God for me. It is not the will of God for any of his children to be confined to an asylum because they've lost their mind. No, sir. This is an important prayer for you to pray for yourself. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom. I want you to know what I have written concerning you. But when we don't open it to know what belongs to us, how then can we have faith in what we don't know? You can't have faith in the unknown. Amen. The word of God has a supernatural way of changing how you think and how you see things. It changes even how you talk. It changes your perspective about life. I'm grateful to God for my teachers. My father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adegbe, and the teachers that God has brought my way. They have helped recondition my thinking. I shared with those who came to Bible study on Thursday, as I had one of my old school buddies. He was in church, sat at the back. We grew up on the same street, in the hood, in the trenches. Our thinking as we were growing up as Mokola boys was, there's a few ways you can make it in life, apart from going to school. Because that's school safe. We've seen bros that went to school, had 2-1. They came back home teaching in one nursery and primary school. They read biochemistry, petroleum engineering. I'm serious. They didn't make anything out of their lives. So we're looking for alternative ways to make it. One of the surest ways was to marry the daughter of a rich man. We've seen that in Ramsey Noah's movies. We're walking on the road, well-dressed. Make sure you wear your Tommy Hilfiger. And men, we can dress. Mokola boys can dress, so bagbe. We don't have the money to buy the brand new, but there's money for bend down. Bend down boutique, wash it, starch it. Even sometimes I give it to dry cleaner, Babe. All you want them to see is the logo. Tommy Hilfiger or Ralph Lauren. If it doesn't have a logo, we don't wear it. Van Heusen, Ben Sherman. I knew all the designers through Bend Down Boutique. But we thank God for today, amen. Dress well. Wear your nice chinos, cotton color, cotton brown or something like that, or creamy brown, and then you wear your loafers, it will be suede, deep brown, and your brown belt, brown, yeah. And then you are bouncing, you have to bounce well, and then you try to smell nice, maybe Tony Montana, not too expensive perfume, or all the imitations. There are original perfumes, and we buy the imitation. Like there is Issey Miyake, imitation, when you show up from there, they are smelling it from here. I mean, that was how we were conditioned to think. That you bump into a lady someday whose car breaks down, then you come around, and then you bend down, you become a mechanic, you help her, and then you fix the tire. And she says, oh my God, thank you. You say, oh, don't mention. And you want to be bouncing away. And she says, oh no, please come, you can't just go like that. Can I have your number? Oh no, I just helped you. Just, you know. But Nalayo, you won't call her number. Then you get the number. Then she will get home and tell her dad, and then her dad will call for you, and then you show up. You know, and then you start falling in love. And we know all the rhymes. Amen. Because we had lessons for, we had rehearsals for line, or line upon line, precept upon precept. Now we get them. And then she'll be daydreaming of you. That kind of thing. That was the way of thinking. Then someday, you marry and boom, you're a big boy. It was a way of thinking. Another way of thinking was travel abroad by any chance, by anyhow, any means, even if it's the head of another person, just go. The first visa somebody offered me in my life, UK visa, the name was Joseph Ajao. I said, so, sir. Unfortunately for that person, I had joined this church that time. And senior pastor had known me because I was a good boy in drama. They gave me all the bad boy roles, all the funny roles, any role that is bad, they will give me. So I was very popular. I said, at this point in my life, if I want to travel now, I will have to go to that man. His office was downstairs here, where they turn to clinic now. And I know my pastor. He will say, okay, so let me have a look. He knows me as Fred Elegbe. The face is the face of Fred, but the name is the name of Joseph Ajao. Fred, when did you become? And I didn't see Fred, like your lad Joseph Ajao Elegbe there. So I told him, I'm serious. I told the bros, he used to come from London every year. And he wanted to help me, honestly. My mom was selling pepper but at the foot of the house. Go to London. You stay in my house. I will get a job for you. And you'll be paying me small. He didn't ask me for money. Not even for tickets. But I said, how will I tell my father in the Lord? This story I'm telling you, I've not even told my father in the Lord yet. He's never heard it. But the honor I had for him alone just kept me. I would have traveled. I would have been in London. In London. London. So I told the man, I said, I'm sorry, sir. There's no way I can tell my pastor. He said, are you a pastor? I said, no, I'm not. I was a drama boy. He started calling me pastor from that day. He gave it to someone else. The person traveled. But by the grace of God, there's no time I want to go to that London now that I cannot go. All it takes is I fix my schedule, I travel. But there was the way we were thinking before I joined the church. Before the word of God began to change my concubility. Because let me give you an example. One day, my friends and I, four of us, one of them was Larry Balogun. We were going through Sabo. We had forms of London Metropolitan University, University of Leicester, University of Herefordshire, Oxford Brooks University. We had all those things. Anglia Ruskin, we had all the forms. We were going to do photocopy. So we're going through Sabo. We just got to the front of former St. Lawrence Hospital. I don't know if he's still there. The guy, Larry, just took all the forms in his hand and smashed them on the floor. Bah! He said, oh no, this year by June, either I travel or I die. We all looked at him. What's wrong with this guy? His entire future was abroad. He's still around though. A way of thinking. Now I know that my help comes from above, not abroad. I got to know that in this church as I was fed with the word of God, and I also went back to feed myself, to desire his word more than my necessary food. The word of God has a way of changing how you think. And let me tell you, it is how you think that determines the quality of your life. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He thinks like a gorilla, he is a gorilla, even though he's a human being. He thinks as a success, he's a success. He thinks as a giant, he's a giant. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. One of the greatest things that this Bible has done to my life is to help change my thinking. I believe I can have anything that God wants me to have by his grace. It's only a matter of time and faith. Like Daniel said, they have been preaching hard like this when there was nothing. And when the Mitsubishi came, we thank God. Until he grew old. Even in his old age, still thanking God. I'm thinking of graduating from a Mitsubishi to a Toyota, but God said no M to M, Mitsubishi to Mercedes. I said, wow. I never thought of it, Lord. He said, that's it. I said, when he came, I said, Lord, I'm not prepared for this. He said, that's it. And people who don't know, say, you see those pastors, prosperity, my goodness. Then you now need to school them and say, oh, come now. You see that guy? Is that my pastor? He's my guy. A big house, one toilet, one bathroom. You go to toilet by schedule. You calculate. To go to bathroom, you calculate. You can't just rush. You know, the kind of bathroom that had no door. God is my witness. Tower. Your tower is your door. Wahangi ni to bade jabo wolumo. I want your pornography of any. But we thank God today. Can I have an amen? This gospel. If it could change my life, it can change anybody's life. That's why I don't despise people. No, I don't. I don't. And God has taken me places. I've met people. People. Let's not be dropping names. I've been in meetings where I would ask myself, Fred, how did you get here? How on God's green earth did you get here? And my answer is grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. And I see the same grace and mercy taking you places. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will be sitting with kings. You will be sitting with decision makers. You will be wondering in your mind, how did I get here? In the name of Jesus. You will become a wonder to many. The word of God transforms our thinking. Romans 12:2 says that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It comes by the renewing of your mind. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not conform to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that you can prove it. So you can say, this is the will of God. This is not the will of God. Not the will of God. Ladies, he comes around and is reeking. His breath is reeking with alcohol. And he says, you know what? Like that guy in the drama. You know what? I'm a nigga. I just came from the U.S. You know, you look at him and say, no, this is not for me. This is not my package. Can I have an amen? Because when your package arrives, you know. Can I have an amen? You are a child of the Most High God. He gives you the best in town. Can I have an amen? And guys, he gives you the best in town. Can I have an amen? Yeah. So you should know the will of God. You should know the will of God. He may not have money right now, but you see there is a vision in him, and that vision will soon put him on television. So he's going somewhere. He's a man on a mission. And you have discernment to recognize him when you see him. Amen. 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 All of my ladies here, you will be properly married. And you will be happily married. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all my guys, you will never miss it in marriage also. You will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. God will give you the helpers of your destiny in the name of Jesus. When God made Eve, he made her as a help meet for him. Help, suitable. God will give you your own help. It's not going to be by calculation. Omobodija. Back in the day, we were Omomokola, so we used to target Omobodija. Kilonje Bodija. That's Bodija. Your father is the Most High God. Amen. I may be wearing a kube today. Don't worry. You see that M and S will enter the store tomorrow. Amen. When I go abroad, when I want to buy things for myself, oh, I go to those designer stores. I say, you are wasting money. Thank you. When I was buying Ben Down, were you there? Say, give me some Louis Vuitton. Give me real Tommy. It's not a. We might not be there today, but we'll get there. And you will be a blessing to many. You will be helping others to pay for jam, to pay for juicy, to pay for TOEFL, IELTS, SAT, PTE. You'll be granting them scholarships, amen? You'll be feeding the poor, amen? You will never be the poor needing help. You'll be the one feeding the poor in the name of Jesus. You might be at a situation in your life right now where you are still receiving help, but you will not be there permanently. A day is coming that things will turn around. For the Bible says in Psalm 126, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. That's how it will happen in your life. It will be like a dream, but it will be real. They came to Joseph. They couldn't recognize him anymore. His brothers, how would they recognize him? They sold him when he was 13. They met him at 37. 38. 7 years of plenty had passed. The first year of famine was when they came. He was the world power. He was the prime minister of Egypt. Big boy. Fresh skin. Gold chain. Fresh beards. He showed up. He spoke Egyptian language to his interpreter to talk to them. As if he couldn't talk to them. They didn't know him anymore. It took Joseph to reveal himself that this is Joseph. I feel like saying this is Paul Richie. He said, this is Joseph, your brother whom you sold. They went flat. He wept. Even Benjamin, the one from his mother's womb, could not recognize him. By virtue of what God will do in your life, people will look at you a couple of years down the line and say, are you? Because you would have been multiple times better than where you are right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In terms of achievement, in terms of speed, in terms of acceleration, in terms of your walk with God, you will never be stagnated in the name of Jesus. One man that went to school with Reverend George Adegbe, who had become an allergy over the years, met Reverend George. Reverend George said, I'm now a preacher of the gospel. He said, Lale Zebeni. His middle name is Olawale, so we call him Lale. Reverend George said, I drove him to the church, Rema Chapel in Ilorin. I showed him the sanctuary. He said, when he saw the sanctuary, he said, you are the pastor of this place. He said, yes, I am. He said, Allah Akbar. He said, he took him from there. He preached that message on this altar, this very altar. He took him to the store and began to show him the equipment, the cameras, the equipment, these computers. The man said, all these things belong to your choice. He said, they belong to my choice. He said, Allah Akbaru. That was the highest way he could express himself. People will look at you. A few months, a few weeks, a few days, a few years away, and they will give glory to God in the name of Jesus. Shout a better amen. Amen. Let me stop here. My time is up. I'll take it from there next week. Still on faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Faith can turn anything around. Any situation. Any life. Faith in God has no respect for your background, sir. Has no respect for your background. Stand on your feet, everybody. I didn't know I've spoken for that long. I thought I'd be preaching for 45 minutes these days. But were you blessed? It's you people, you're always blessed. So you make me flow a lot. Father, we honor you and we praise you.